there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Yes, sir, we are off and right here, Michael Lombardi over there, as we welcome you. Let's get this game going. Let's get game two of the finals going up in San Francisco. I can't wait, man. How are you doing? Good morning, Michael Lombardi.
I am great. What are we, a 9:18 tip tonight, my time? I mean, is that what we're going to have? I just hope, Patrick,
Please.
For the sake of Golden State, that they executed in their practices. That's what I hope.
Execution? That's the key.
Execution's the key.
I could read the definition of execution if you'd like to start the show to get you on the right track.
That's what we need. Thank you, Mark Jackson. We needed that information. Excellent. Thank you. We'll move on from here.
Have you and Mark Jackson always had beef, or is this something? No, I'm just playing.
I just think, to me, I don't have a beef with him. I think he's cheating us. I think he's, you know, he's making a lot of money to do broadcast, and his job is to educate the viewer. You know, he knows basketball. He's played it at a high level. He's coached. Just tell us, like, what do you want to do? What play do you want to run? How are we going to get a guy open? You know, it's like I said yesterday, that's where basketball and football cross paths so much. Third and eight, we got to have a play. You think Belichick tells the team, let's execute, guys? You know, they're in the huddle saying, okay, here's what we're going to run. We got to have it. Here's what we're going to do.
Does he not, though, tell his guys incessantly, do your job? Do your job.
Right.
Focus.
But he defines what the job is. He defines what the job is, and practice execution becomes game reality. And so everybody knows what they're – it's one thing to say do your job. It's kind of nebulous, right? It's
right.
out there.
Right.
But until you're defined what your job is, you don't know what you're doing. A lot of people go to work every day not sure what they do.
I just showed up today, and I was just like, what are we
– Yeah, me too. I just showed up. I mean, you know.
What are you going to do?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to do a mic or cook breakfast or get donuts. I don't know, but I'm here. I'm happy to be here. I love it.
I'm happy to have you. 12-point deficit after three in game one, Michael, turned into a 12-point win for the Celtics. You know, that was a wild ride as I went through it this morning. Steph owned the first, 6 3-pointers, 21 points. Boston looked confused on defense. We talked about that offense. It can be confusing and disconcerting for the Warriors. But then – you know, the Celtics climbed back in period two, and by the break, they were up two. 38-24 in the third, typical Warriors third quarter. And then the Celtics, not brilliant. That was absolutely beyond brilliance in the fourth. 40-16, the defense, the switches were awesome. And Horford, Smart, and Derek White couldn't miss. And that's what Draymond was alluding to yesterday when he was, I don't know if you want to call it condescending, but he said, look, Horford, Smart, and White didn't miss from three. Okay, I like our chances in game two.
The one thing I know about the guys in the NBA, because everything is so – they don't let a game affect them. You know, they don't carry it with them. I mean, the one thing about the NBA, because they play 82 nights, it's the next game. I mean, they don't carry it. You know, in football, because you only play 17 games, you used to play just 16. I mean, you tend to carry it with you by, you know, there was a rule most organizations had. If you lose, we're letting it go by Monday afternoon. That's it. We're done. We're not talking about it anymore, because it tended to carry over and affect your next game. These guys in basketball, they know it's a 7-game series. They know it was one game. They look at the stat sheet and say, hey, no team can continue to shoot 51% from the 3-point line. So, look, we had a 12-point lead. They were shooting well. It wasn't like they got hot in the fourth. They were hot the whole game, right?
Yep.
We just got to do a better job. We have to play better defense. We've got to be able to, you know, we haven't protected the corner three all year, so we're not going to change that because we're so concerned about our rim protection. You know, we're the best rim-protecting team in the league. We're going to continue that. Boston's offense is really only 22nd in going to the rim, so it's not like they're going to the rim. So maybe Kerr comes up with a strategy that we're going to protect, but we're going to wrap, but not as deep as we were protecting, so we can rally out to the threes.
And they were so concerned with stopping Tatum. And Tatum, you know, 3 of 17 from the floor. He did have the 13 dimes, so 13 assists, but boxing ones. The Warriors just have a myriad of defenses that they play, and they essentially were saying, we'll let Horford from the corner, as you just mentioned, kill us, and guess what? He killed them. Now, I'll tell you this quickly. Kerr and the Warriors, they're 16-8 ATS as favorites after a loss in the postseason. The translation, Michael, they adjust. Kerr's a very smart basketball mind. They're going to adjust tonight. This is a tough spot for Boston because guess what? In the postseason, Boston has been very uneven, almost like Tatum, where they play brilliantly and then there's a letdown the next game. This is a really right. big spot for both teams, obviously.
It really is. I mean, and it's a must-win for Golden State because if you go down 2-love at home, you know, now you're really facing an uphill climb. You've got basically you've got 5 games to go, and you've got to win 4 of the 5, and you got to win them on the opponent's court. So it's really a challenge. I mean, this is a must win for Golden State early in the series. And you got to think Udoka, the coach of the Celtics, is really saying, hey, fellas, we can really put the pressure on this team. Let's just play our style. Let's not get caught up in it and see what – and let's keep put the pressure and get them in the fourth quarter again to see if they melt once again. I mean, Boston can play loose. They can play free because they've got home court advantage back. And they can go back, and we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for Golden. It's going to be hard for Boston because I don't think they can shoot that well. Even if Tatum has a lights out game like he's very capable of having, I still think Golden State. Now they've got to get something out of Poole. You know, they've got to get something out of their guys. I mean, it just can't be all Seth.
Well, let's talk about what you said, a 2-0 lead in a series. It happened last year. Remember, the Bucks went on the road in Phoenix, lost the first two, ripped off 4 straight. But your point is well taken. 5 teams have won a title when they've been down 0-2. No team, Michael Lombardi.
But that's a different 0-2.
I was going to say, no team in the history of the NBA 75-plus years has won a title losing the first two at home. So there's a big distinction there. And that's where the Warriors are.
Yeah,
Warriors
no doubt.
This is it. This is a huge spot. And they bounce back.
A little surprised. I'm surprised. I don't know if you are. I'm surprised this line hasn't ticked to 4.5 or moved a little bit towards Golden State. I mean, the money line, I mean, think about this. You know, the 93% of the money line, is on the Warriors. And that's not a great money line number.
No, it opened 4, it's sitting 4. There are a few shops that favor favorites, and you'll notice this as you get into the game. Obviously, some shops are kind of shadowed towards the favorites. But here's your point is well taken. Well, I'm taking a look at the BetMGM splits right now, and you can check our splits over at VSiN.com. 74% of the bets and 75% of the handle. That is big time on the Warriors. But to your point, we're still sitting 4 off the 4 opener. Something's up.
Yeah. I mean, I just think to me, you know, this Boston team, they can play 7 guys, they can switch, they all can shoot, and, you know, it does present a problem for Golden State. It's a little bit what JVT said, and we'll have him later in the show today, about, you know, they're a better version of what Memphis was, and Memphis gave Golden State more trouble than Dallas. I mean, look, Dallas just didn't make shots. I mean, it's as plain as simple. I don't know about the shot chart, the quality shot, all that stuff, but they had open shots. They didn't make them.
Boy, you are still stung with your Mavs going down. I can tell.
Well, I mean, you know, they had typically shot well. I mean, I was disappointed.
I agree.
Shoot.
I agree.
I mean, it's a 4-1 series, and Golden State's the better team. Those games were closer than the score indicated. There's no doubt.
So we talk about the brilliant offense and the ball movement, but again, I want to reiterate, Boston 33 assists. The ball movement in the fourth was immaculate, you know, driving to the rim, kicking it out for those threes, the open threes. Now, here is a stat that popped up earlier today. Non-Curry Warriors made 43% of their shots in game one. Non-Tatum and Brown Boston Celtics made 67% of their shots. I mean, they couldn't miss. Yeah. The ancillary parts couldn't miss.
Right. I mean, it's like you go into the game and say, I'm going to take this player away and make these other guys beat us. And they do.
And they did.
And so you live with it. You got to live with it. But here's what I think the game's going. I mean, if you're Boston, you're saying, look, we're the best half-court defense in the NBA. If we keep them out of transition, we keep them out of those easy looks, we do a better job, like they didn't do in the first quarter, of switching and being close to Curry and not letting him get disengaged, you know, you've got a great chance. I mean, Boston is an outstanding, you know, half-court defense team. They're the best in the league. And make Golden State win in the half court. They're 12th in the NBA in that category.
You kind of want to weather the storm if you're Boston because what you just said about Curry, he has to wear down. In that fourth quarter, he wore down a little bit because I compare him to a slot receiver trying to get open constantly. I mean, he's a perpetual motion, but the way the Celtics have such defensive flexibility with size and just the switching ability that he's going to work his butt off. I was going to say something else on this Lord's Day, but he's going to work really hard to get open throughout this whole entire series. And you know what I'm saying with that.
No doubt he will. And look, I just think the energy, I like the first half. I got to think Golden State. I know they start slow typically, but I think they got to be loaded for bear. I think they're going to come out and I think they got to try to take the game over like they did early in the first quarter, but not let play better defense and not let Boston and just count on them not shooting as well. Let's face it. I mean, I think it's impossible for a team to continue to shoot that well. We shall see if it does. But, you know, if you're Golden State, you're saying, look, let's just play the way we played. Let's get tighter on the threes. They won't shoot as well.
I think it was almost surprising when you looked up at the break in game one that Boston was up two. Really dealt with that first quarter very well. And by the way, throughout the postseason, nobody's close. The Celtics have been the best second quarter team in the postseason out of anybody. Obviously, the Warriors are a great third quarter team. Boston 8-2 straight up on the road, 9-1 ATS. They're just absolutely balling. And that was the first loss at home by the Warriors in the postseason.
How many times did you say to yourself watching that game that three really saved Boston? Like when Golden State was on those runs and White or Horford or, you know, anybody made a three, specifically it was White, you say, wow, that really helped. That stopped. Because how many games have we all watched where, you know, the team's on a run and the opponent takes a three, misses, and the run continues and all of a sudden the game gets away? They made critical, critical threes to close the gap.
They made seven straight in the fourth. I'll give you another one. Yeah. Warriors were up 15 in the third. Steph had a three to go up 18. Missed it. The Celtics went on a run. It all hinges on the three, as we talk about all the time. Great article.
It's all percentage of shooting.
Exactly what it is. Michael Lombardi had a great article, VSiN.com, about the Eagles. We're coming back with it.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check out the current betting splits and all the data, the betting splits in that page. It's, by the way, it's updated every 10 minutes, so it's much more immediate now. And we give you all the action, every game. You're going to be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. So betting splits, just another way VSiN is trying to help you become a smarter, more sophisticated better. Check it out, VSiN.com. As we got you back here on a Sunday, hope you're having a nice weekend. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Of course, he is Michael Lombardi. Before we jump into this, we got a ton to do. JVT, for the Nesson audience, you're going to get a basketball lesson. He's going to join us for a half hour coming up at the top of the hour. We got Thomas Gable, our buddy that runs the race and sports book over at the Borgata. We've got Will Hill, Mr. Laker. We've got Wes Reynolds, so we're stacked. Have you seen, you're a documentary movie guy. Have you seen the new Top Gun? I wanted to ask you that yesterday.
No, I have not.
Okay, it is, I'm not a movie guy, specifically like an action movie guy, but went with a friend. It is a 12 out of 10. It's nonstop.
Really?
Oh, you're going to absolutely, Tom Cruise 40 years later, I don't know how they did it. It's better than the original. Top Gun Maverick is a banger.
Wow.
Go see it,
That's
man.
Awesome.
Go see it.
That's awesome.
Now,
and it's those are the kind of things you got to see in the movie, in the theater, right? The big screen, you know, the whole essence of the place. I mean that's what, you know, you can, there's a lot of stuff you can watch at home, but these are the kind of movies I think you got to see on the big screen.
Yeah. I went with a friend. She said it's IMAX. I said, do they have beer? They did.
Yeah.
Off-season, you know, it's interesting. The article you wrote over at VSiN.com about the Eagles, I encourage everybody to check it out. You learn a lot within the article. However, let us know right now, because I want to talk about Sirianni's approach to the off-season. Where are we? We've got mandatory minis coming up this week for a few teams, right? So kind of, can you lay out where we're at in the process, and then we'll get into the philosophy behind Sirianni and the Eagles?
So, you know, teams like the Raiders, new coaching staff, they get an added mini camp. But for the most part, teams have about 12 what they call OTA days, which are, you know, you're allowed to be on the, you're allowed to be in the building a certain amount of time, on the field a certain amount of time, and then you also have a mini camp. And the difference between an OTA day and a mini camp is very, very slim. I mean, the mini camps, you can keep them for a little bit longer in meetings, but not much. So, you know, what Sirianni has decided to do because of what happened last year for his team. His team was able to go through the season without all these injuries. And in prior years, the Eagles' injury toll was fairly significant. So, because of that, and because of the way they changed training camp, if you went to an Eagle practice last year at training camp, they were basically operating on the light system. So a red day was very light. A yellow day was cautionary. A green day was an hour and a half. That was it. You know, and so they were just trying to get their team to the season and work from there. Now, that's not saying they didn't work, but look, football is a game of contact, and it requires contact to practice it to get better at it. Pad level, physicality, techniques, fundamentals. And the Eagles started out 2-5. Now you say, well, they rallied back. Well, they did and they didn't. I mean, they rallied back because if you look at the schedule after they lost to the Chargers at home, they didn't play another quarterback worth a darn until they got to Brady, and they were down 31-0. Now, you could say, well, you know, they lost to the Giants in New York. I mean, think about that. You know, the Jet game, I think Minshew played in that game. But who did they beat in the second half of the season? They went out and beat Denver, you know. But Denver wasn't very good at quarterback last year. They had a ton of injuries. So my point is I think you're kidding yourself a little bit here thinking that last year is just going to carry over, particularly when you were down 31-0 in a playoff game against a team a real team. Beating Washington with Garrett Gilbert, does that really count, Patrick?
Well, the best team they beat by record was the Saints. Think about this. Was the Saints, and who was starting at quarterback for the Saints when they beat them?
Trevor Siemian.
So they didn't beat anybody.
Now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I like them on the over because I think their schedule is also ridiculously easy again this year. I mean, their schedule is so, to me, it favors them. And they have a running game that I think is very difficult to prepare for because of Hurts' ability to run the football. And unless you really spend time in the offseason, unless the Lions dedicate at least 2 weeks of training camp towards handling it, they will have a hard time with it.
Yeah, they got the NFC North and South, AFC South. You take a look there, Michael.
I mean, look, here they open up with Detroit, Minnesota, Washington, Jacksonville. And their first real – the first game that they potentially will not be favored in is Arizona. I mean, you could say, well, maybe in Washington they won't be favored. I mean, I got a hard time thinking they wouldn't be favored going to see Carson Wentz again. I mean, I'm not a believer in the Ron Rivera program that's being operated in Washington at all. I mean, it's been – to me, it's showed no progress whatsoever.
Do me a favor. How does the Brown, A.J. Brown, the big addition in the offseason, and the Devontae Smith, and of course they added the cornerback as well, so this has been a very busy offseason for the Eagles, but how, with Hurts, does the Brown-Devontae Smith dynamic and that trio work out schematically?
Well, I mean, the one thing Hurts can do is throw RPOs. I mean, you know, he's a play-action passer all the way, not a dropback. And with A.J. Brown, you get a guy who's very good yards after the catch. So, you know, that kind of marries up the short passes, the slants, the you know, all the inside routes, the shallow crosses, all the things that you like to run. He can throw those and off of the RPO system. But if it's straight drop back, you know, then it becomes a little bit of an issue for him. Smith will be able to take the outside quadrant of the field and handle it. I think when you look at Philadelphia, I think one of the things that I keep harping on this all off season is you have to look at, when you look at receiving corps, people tend to focus so much on how many catches did you have, right? So how many times did you get the ball? Well, like let's take Devontae Adams. I think he had 159 targets. I think he had 125 catches. I mean, that's a really – so what does that tell you? That tells you that even when he's covered, he catches the ball, mm-hmm. right? Even when he's covered, he's catching the football. Whereas Devontae Smith had 104 targets, he had 64 catches. So what does that tell you? That tells you that he has a hard time in crowds, or the ball's not thrown very accurately to him. So there's an issue. So what you have to improve on is – what Hurt has to improve on is that target to reception. That number, it's not often discussed, but it's really important. That's why the great quarterbacks, you know, if you look at Brady and Godwin, his targets to his receptions, they close that thing way down. You know, whereas like Dallas Goedert, he had 76 targets last year. He had 58 receptions. Okay, middle of the field, things are going. He can make those throws. And I think that's where it is. Miles Sanders, for example, running back, catching flat screens, 34 targets, 26 catches. That's important. See, that's a real important number. Whereas Zach Ertz was 31 targets, only 18 catches. You know, you want to be able to where Hurts is very effective is throwing the ball to the back, somebody in the flat, easy catches. When it expands down the field, Boston Scott, you know, he had 16 targets, 13 catches.
Do you connect the slow start by the Eagles last year and potentially this year, as bettors were looking for edges constantly, with the way they're handling the offseason, the OTAs? And do you connect the slow start to that, where they're trying to keep the guys healthy, but at the same time it may lend itself to a slow start like it did last year?
I thought they were not in great shape last year. I didn't. I said it in the preseason when they practiced against New England. I thought they were a little sluggish and they weren't in great shape. You know, but they start the season off in Atlanta and they win that rather easily. You know, they don't create a turnover. They don't give up the ball. They come home against San Francisco. It's a defensive struggle. They couldn't really move the ball. They ran the ball effectively. They couldn't throw it against San Francisco. They lose that game 17-11. And then they go down to Dallas, and that wasn't a close game. Kansas City comes in. It was a closer game. But, you know, Dallas and Kansas City, they gave up 40 points each game. So I do think they need to change. I mean, that's the other issue other than Hurts that I tried to point out in the column that we have tended to overlook. They played against six good quarterbacks. Brady twice. He counts in that six. In those six games, they only threw those quarterbacks only threw 36 incomplete passes. 36. They threw 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So what does that tell us? It tells us as betting that when they play against good quarterbacks, their defense isn't very good. When they play against bad quarterbacks, yeah, not so bad. And I think that's where you have to look beyond the schedule a little bit. Now, again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here because next year their schedule wasn't very tough. This year it's not very tough either. They don't play a lot of quarterbacks. When you're betting this over-under market, you got to sit down there and write the quarterbacks the team's facing because those are 50-50 games. You know, you could say, well, they could beat the Raiders. Well, no, Carr's pretty good, and he could throw the ball. So, you know, they lose to the Raiders. I mean, Dallas found that out. I think you got to be careful, and that's what worries me about Philly.
Well, like you said, you like the over 9.5 regular season. You don't consider them a postseason team, and there's reasons for excitement for Philadelphia Eagle fans. First off, they're playing the North in the NFC. They're playing the South in the AFC. The schedule is soft. That's a playoff team from last year, and they made big-time, big names that they brought, obviously, the cornerback they brought in, A.J. Brown. These are big-time offseason moves with a playoff team from last year, so there are reasons to be excited.
It all comes down to, can they change what they do defensively and can Hurt throw the football? It's real simple.
Yes, sir. Michael Lombardi. Okay, when we come back, I got a question about Baker, and then I also got two big retirements and an interesting quote from Sean McVay. We're back, Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, our buddy Jeremy Plonk over at ExpressBet picks today with the horses. Santa Anita, race one. Jeremy likes the four horse, Grandiosely, at Belmont in the eighth race. Jeremy has the six horse, American Bridge, on top. Speaking of Belmont Park, VSiN contributor Jeff Siegel is coming off a winning Preakness pick, and he did it all here on the Lombardi Line. You can get $25 free and follow his picks in Saturday's Belmont Stakes. All you have to do is sign up for First Bet, the preferred horse racing app of VSiN, and look for Jeff's picks later this week on VSiN.com or catch his appearances on Follow the Money and Saturday's Lombardi Line. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. That's VSIN.com/horses. Use the promo code LVBelmont. That's important. LVBelmont when you do. And then root on Jeff's picks, who's been killing it for us lately. I got an update for Michael Lombardi. This is an important one, so I need you to focus. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, it is VSiN, the sports betting. We got an hour and a half that's absolutely packed, so let's have a little fun. Were you waiting to hear what Emily Mayfield had to say about her husband, Baker? Yes, you were, give it to you.
I was definitely on pins and needles, yes,
well,
certainly.
I know that, I don't know if you attended, but Emily hosted a Q&A over Instagram on Friday. And she was
I missed that.
Okay, I apologize. I should have gave you a heads up. But she was asked numerous times about how Baker was doing. Quote, great. That's it. No, anyway, she said he's been training a ton and playing plenty of golf in his free time. That's the update. Okay, we had a little fun with that. Now let's get to the serious stuff. Baker, obviously, what is he, 29-30 in the games he started as a Brown, played 14 games last year. They bring in Deshaun Watson. There's just absolute unknown consequences surrounding Deshaun right now. Are they going to move on from Baker, and can they keep him?
I think, well, they can keep him. They've got enough cap room to keep him, but they would like to get that cap. I mean, they don't want to take $18 million and just have it in a backup quarterback. They've already told Jacoby Brissett, you're the backup, right? So they signed Jacoby Brissett, and I don't think they anticipated it being this challenging to trade Baker. I think they felt like it was going to be a lot easier, that, you know, that people would be willing to take it. I think the same thing in San Francisco. I think Kyle Shanahan is absolutely shocked that he still has Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster, that somebody won't take him, you know. And so I that's what's going on. And $18 million, the Browns have been reluctant to take it. There's been a report. I don't know if it's true, but it is reported by the Carolina newspaper, The Observer, that the Panthers are willing to spend $6 million of the 18 if the Browns will take the other 12. You know, we shall see. I mean, look, this is the problem you get is Baker's value. When you watch him, play in the game, you see what he's doing. You know, do you want to spend $18 million on it for a one-year deal? I think if you're Carolina, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, he's desperate. It's the perfect situation. We're willing to take a chance. We'll keep him and Darnold. and one will be the backup, one will be the starter while we develop Corral. But but why would we give up very much? I mean, I think Seattle is the only one who should be more aggressive, but they don't seem to be interested in being aggressive. I think they're just content to go with Locke or Geno Smith. It makes no sense to me.
Is it? Do you think there's reticence from Carolina or Seattle to bring the Baker package into the quarterback room? And you know what I mean by that? There's a lot that comes with Baker.
Right, but I think it's different. You know, it's a little bit like Andrew Wiggins, right? Andrew Wiggins, when he's on the Timberwolves, he's the first overall pick in the draft. He's viewed as the savior. He's the guy. When he goes to another team, he has to fit in. He's no longer the guy. You know, he's been traded. He's been basically, I don't want to say humiliated, that's the wrong word, but he's been downgraded. And because he's been downgraded, he has to come and prove it to people. It's now a proving operation, no longer that I'm the star. And I think that's a different world. I mean, look, the reality of Baker that has always bothered me is, you know, because of his size, because of his inability to see in the pocket, he misses a lot of throws. He overthrows balls. And the other issue is he gets too many balls batted down. I mean, he gets at least 7 passes knocked on the ground by the tip to the defensive lineman or the defensive back. That's 7 chances at interceptions.
There was a rash of divorces during the pandemic. The issue was those getting divorced had to stay in the same house together. That's awkward. You know what I'm talking about with Baker.
Yeah.
Where Baker's the number one overall pick with a healthy.
It can't work. I mean, Baker, you know, Baker isn't going to come in there and all of a sudden, you know, because Baker's trying to position himself for his next gig, which he should do. He thinks of himself as a starting quarterback. He was the first overall pick in the draft. Not that I thought he was worthy of that, but he was. And so he's trying to position himself for, if I could go to Carolina and prove I'm the man, now I get my next contract. This is all about what's my next contract going to look like. I've already got $18 million in the bank. You know, it's like Mitchell Trubisky. Okay, my next contract. He went to Buffalo. People forgot all the tape that happened in Chicago all of a sudden. But he didn't get a big deal. I mean, Pittsburgh didn't pay very much for him. So it's no harm. They're giving him a tryout.
Baker, just 4 seasons into his career, we had 2 announcements as far as official retirements, 2 39-year-olds this week. And if you take a look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, what a fascinating career, Michael, because he's a 7th round pick, and I'm sure you heard he went to Harvard. 9 teams, started games on all 17 seasons. Last year, he threw 6 passes for Washington. He collected $10 million, 223 career touchdowns, 169 picks. He did it in a really Ryan Fitzpatrick way when he sent text messages to his ex-teammates that was essentially the Da Vinci Code. It was pretty wild. Can we throw up the video of Fitzpatrick? This kind of encapsulates exactly who Ryan Fitzpatrick is in a quick bite. So let's go ahead and throw that up here.
Hey, DJ. I got like 2 more because DJ needs his stuff back.
Wait a minute, you mean
I borrowed your stuff. Sorry. Yeah, I borrowed your stuff. Sorry, Deshaun.
This is yours.
Wait,
what is yours? Is any of that yours or is that?
The chest hair is mine.
Ryan Fitzpatrick wearing Deshaun Jackson's gear, and he said, the chest hair is mine. An amazing career, if you think about it. 17 seasons for a 7th round pick. Tremendous.
Really tremendous. You know, it's funny. He's played for a lot of teams. He started 147 games in his NFL career. What's even more remarkable is the fact that he's played as long as he's did, and he's only had 18 fourth comeback drives in the games. Only 18 in that short amount of time. You know, and most of those occurred when he was with Buffalo, with Chan Gailey, and then the other ones down in Miami. He was coming off the bench for Tua. Remember, he came off the bench for Tua, and he kind of let him. They had to get rid of him when Tua, you know, they didn't want him around Tua because they were afraid he was going to beat Tua out. So, you know, what a great career. Made a lot of money. I mean, played a long time and was able when the system fit what he did, credit to Mike Martz. Mike Martz saw talent in the Harvard quarterback, and he's had a great career. You know, when they signed, I mean, his last year in Miami, the hit he got against, when he played against the Eagles in the opening game for Washington, I didn't see it. I didn't understand how he got hurt. But that being said, you know, the year before in Miami, he was 4-3 as the starter, and he came off the bench and he was able to lead them to a comeback win. So he actually did play well, and, you know, just they wanted him to move out for Tua.
I'll tell you what's even more fascinating than 9 teams in 17 seasons. I'll just give you the names. Tate, Brady, Maisie, Zoe, Lucy, Jake, and Ruby. 7 kids? Is there not a CVS in town? 7 children?
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying with the CVS,
well, you made a lot
my man.
Of money. You know, you can have a big family when you make a lot of money. We got a big house, got a big, you know, I mean, look. Who knows where he's going to go? He's probably going to go to some Wall Street firm now, or I don't know what he's going to do. But, you know, look, it's been a great career for him, and hats off to him for being able to do what he's been able to do. I think the one thing that one thing we can learn, fans should learn and understand about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chan Gailey loved him. And so Chan Gailey's sponsorship allowed him to have 2 gigs in the league. 4 years in Buffalo, right? That's Chan Gailey's era. And then down in Miami, Chan Gailey. You know, so you know, when you have a guy that believes in you, you can have a longer career.
Yeah, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's very affable, got along with everybody, and we do have confirmation he gets along with his wife.
Yes, we do.
Sorry. It's Sunday. Frank Gore, also officially retired. 16-year career, the durability, especially amazing, with the injuries coming out of Miami. I think he had the knee twice.
2 ACLs.
2 ACLs. The same knee.
Same. And it was basically off a lot of teams' draft boards that he was not going to be able to play, and that the arthritis in the knee. And so give the 49ers credit. Scott McLuhan, they drafted him in the 3rd round, and he's been good. I mean, I saw a video of his boxing. I think he's going to do 1 more fight. But just a tremendous person. My son, who coached him out there at San Francisco, he's just a tremendous human being. Great career. And for where he started and where he ended up, I mean, he overcame a lot. And he proved that, you know, you don't have to be a first-round pick to have a long career in the NFL if you work like Frank Gore worked.
And through that durability, ends up the 3rd leading rusher in the history of the league behind Emmett and Walter. So Sweetness and Emmett, it's pretty good company. Now, he did,
really
again,
good company. I mean, it's going to be interesting what the voters do on the Hall of Fame. Where is his sponsorship going to come from? You know, who's going to stand on the table? Because that's what it all is. As I write about in my book, it's a political battle. It's not about, you know, it's a who's going to argue for him and who's going to argue against him.
Yeah, my assumption is he gets in 16,000. That's a nice clean number there on rushing
really
yards. Come back with Will Hill next here, Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, there's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. New customers can either download the BetMGM app and place a $10 Moneyline wager over at BetMGM.com in the NBA Finals game. If either team hits a three-pointer tonight, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets. It's that easy. Use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N 200 to make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. And remember, if you're a new bettor, use that code VSIN 200. You're going to win $200 paid for in free bets. It's that simple. It's a new customer offer. You got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here at the VSiN Studios at the South Point. We say hi to our buddy Will Hill, the New York City cast. You can be found at VSiN.com/podcast. A big smile to start the Sunday morning. What are you cheesing about over there, man?
Nothing. Yankees-Tigers starts in like an hour or so. The first exciting. Two games have gone pretty well. So why does baseball do this? I don't mind an 11:30 start, but you can't even watch it. It's on, what, the Peacock Network? So I don't understand that. I don't understand a lot of things baseball does. But Yankees are playing well. It's good.
We start with programming take from Will Hill there, Michael Lombardi.
It's shocking, right? I mean, it's completely shocking. I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, how are you feeling about a 9:18 tip tonight?
I thought it was earlier tonight. I think
it
we're getting
is.
An 8 o'clock or tonight.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, we are.
Yep.
Oh, okay,
yeah, I fixed
great.
That one.
Oh, that's
– I fixed it.
Oh, okay. I like that one a lot
thanks,
better,
Will.
Too. And thank you. Appreciate you doing that. And then what was your thoughts on Mark Jackson's commentary about execution?
Hey, you can't argue with him. I mean, hey, those paychecks keep cashing. He's not wrong. So, yeah, that was a hell of an insight.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
Execution. That's important. We'll try to execute this segment with our buddy Will. We've been talking about game one. You know, it's almost with 2 days in between, you get extra time to marinate on what we saw in game one. And I just come away, that was kind of a roller coaster ride. There's so many different elements to game one that I found fascinating with the Boston win.
Yeah, if you're Golden State, you can spin it and say, you know what, one bad quarter, we're up 15 pretty late, we're fine, we'll bounce back tonight, we're 1-1, and it's going to be a long series. And that still might be the case. But boy, if I'm Boston, if I'm the Warriors here, I'm concerned. Because look at everything that happened. Look at everything that went right. Curry was the best player on the floor. You're home. Tatum did nothing. Tatum made three shots, and you look up and you lost the game by what, 12, 15 points. So, boy, I just think Boston, they're bigger. I could – you know, worry about Boston wearing down Golden State. Golden State's perimeter defense is just not the same. Boston, I thought, got a lot of really good looks. I am on the under tonight. I just think there was a lot of miscommunications defensively where guys just got lost on switches, and it led to a lot of wide open threes, 40 made threes for both teams. But man, if you're just let's just do it playground style. If you're picking sides, Curry's obviously the first pick. But after that, when are you picking a Warrior? Because Clay's just not the same player. After Curry, you know, it's Tatum, it's Brown, it's probably, you know, Horford, Robert Williams. I don't know where you're picking a Warrior next. And, you know, Draymond gives them nothing offensively. And you're just playing these lineups with Golden State. You can't afford to play Draymond and Iguodala at the same time because it's two non-shooters. I'd be worried here if I'm Boston and if I'm Golden State. And I don't want to go too far here. I don't want to exaggerate this, but it's reminding me a little bit of the 2004 NBA Finals with the Pistons and the Lakers, where I think we just look at one team and you think, you know what, they've won all these titles, they're going to win this one. It's not that same Warriors team, just like it wasn't that same Lakers team, as I'm sure, Patrick, you can appreciate that reference. I'd be worried here about Golden State.
Karl Malone, Gary Payton, towards the end of their career, joined Shaq, and obviously Kobe Bryant, big-time favorites in the series. I was living Michael Lombardi in South Carolina at the time, drove a rental car up to the Palace of Auburn Hills to catch game one of the 04 Finals, and my boys, they beat the Lakers. It was about as exciting as it gets.
Should have swept them.
Yep.
And who was the coach? That
pound for pound,
team?
Larry Brown.
They're one of the greatest of all time.
He really
right
is.
Yeah, no doubt.
Won a championship at Kansas, too.
Were you surprised how much the series price changed after one game?
No, because, I mean, you only need four. Now, you know, if you're Golden State, you got to hold serve and win one in Boston. So I think there were a lot of smart people that liked Boston to begin with. I know JVT was saying, you know what, I picked Boston in five, and I'm worried that it might be a sweep. And I think if Boston were ever to steal this game tonight, now I don't think they will. I think Golden State wins tonight. But if Boston wins tonight, we're looking at a sweep. I think that's very much on the table here. I don't think it'll happen. I think desperation of the situation, you know, I think there's, you know, human nature sets in where Boston can say, you know what, we got our game on the road, we did our job. I think that sort of sets in, human nature kicks in. But boy, if Boston wins tonight, we're looking at a sweep here. I'm not surprised. I think this is probably a good price here. I think there's probably value on Boston minus 165, honestly.
Digging through the Tatum numbers. So yeah. When he's had during this postseason run, when he's had kind of an anomaly, that game that he had where he had, you know, 3 of 17 from the floor. His bounce backs have been 38, 31, and 30, respectively. I'm going to look up the number as far as the prop on his scoring
tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm all over the over on him. I'm over the over on him and the under on Horford. Horford's not going to come back with an – I mean, I don't know what his number is. I'm sure it's probably – the book's way too smart to set it too high. But I think that's certainly – I mean, you know, Tatum's at 26.5. I'm going over that. You know, the thing about Jaylen Brown, Will, that I don't understand, why don't people pressure him with the ball when he has the ball? He's a horrible dribbler, and he has a hard time. I mean, it doesn't seem like he can escape much.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I wonder if Kerr will make an adjustment here and maybe try Wiggins on him, because I just don't think Clay is big enough, strong enough. I mean, Brown is a strong guy. He's 6'8", he's 6'9", something like that, and he's really strong. I don't know that Clay can hold up physically. Maybe they try Wiggins on him tonight. I'd be interested. I think Kerr needs a little more speed on the floor. I think maybe they'll try Moses Moody just to get a little athleticism, a little 3-and-D. Be curious to see what Kerr, you know, tries in terms of adjustments. And you mentioned Brown, you mentioned Tatum. I'm shocked by the MVP odds. I mean, Tatum – we've played one game. He shot 3 of 17. And he's a +125 favorite to win MVP. To me, I don't know how you make those odds. That number seems off to me, though.
I will caution Celtic fans. They've been uneven. They pop, and that fourth quarter was brilliant in a myriad of ways. One, they couldn't miss a shot. They had 7 straight threes at one point, but the defense was just awesome. But then they come back with these stinkers. It's been weird against Milwaukee and specifically against Miami. Just when you think they're starting to roll, they've been uneven. And, you know, Kerr and the Warriors in this spot off a loss, as you would suspect, with this dynastic run, Michael, they've been tremendous off a loss, ATS.
Yeah. I think Will made a great point. Would you be – I would play – I think I might have to play Moody. I mean, I know he's a young player, but I think you're going to have to get more athleticism. I mean, Boston is – they're athletic. They move. They could switch. Now, I know it's hard to play a young player this late in the series, but Iguodala gives you nothing. I mean, I think it was a waste of – I didn't understand it, especially in the fourth. And as Will said, when he's on the court with Draymond, I mean, you got two guys they don't have to really defend. I mean, Iguodala just passed up that top of the three – top of the three that he had. He was wide open and he moved the ball. He doesn't want to shoot. I mean, he's a reluctant shooter, and the more reluctant shooters you put on the court in a must-win game, they become more reluctant.
And how about Gary Payton defensively? Could we get some minutes out of Gary Payton? Now, he would give him a huge lift, Will, defensively.
Yeah, you're gonna have to try that. I would think you go with some more defensive lineups here. And yeah, I totally agree. I think Wiggins on Brown is an adjustment you can make. And I don't know where you put Clay, because Clay used to be one of like the two or three best wing defenders in the league, and he's just not that anymore. And, you know, his game offensively, it comes and goes. I'm sure he'll have one of these games. If it's a long series, he'll have one of these games where he scores 28 or 30 and just gets hot from three. But, you know, he just doesn't do it consistently anymore.
Well, he has averaged. So Clay had 15 in game one. After a loss in the postseason, Clay is averaging over 25 points per. So Clay gives you exactly what you said off of a loss offensively.
It's weird to see Boston ahead in a series too, because they were playing catch up against Milwaukee. They fell right behind 1-0. They fell right behind Miami 1-0. They've been every other game. They've been playing catch up this whole postseason. It's weird to see them look up and be up 1-0 in a series.
You know, but I tell you about Boston. I mean, look, they are mentally tough. They looked Brooklyn right in the eye. I mean, I just read on Twitter, Brooklyn and Golden State are going to pay like $225 million total in luxury taxes, and the rest of the league's paying $228 million, and the rest of the league's paying. I mean, this Boston team is mentally tough. I mean, they're together. They communicate, and nothing makes them flinch. And so I don't think they take that easy. Okay, we're gonna lay down this one. They might have a bad shooting night and lose the game, but they're gonna bring it. They are a mentally tough team.
The resurgence of the 36-year-old Horford, you see his number on the MVP, Will, at 16-1. He may be the most important piece throughout this run. It's insane how well he's played.
Yeah, it's a shame the Sixers can't get guys like that, right, Lombardi?
Yeah, you know, the guy that wanted to sign him, I think he's in Utah. The guy that wanted to sign him, the analytical guy, he's in Utah. He's probably running around screaming, "I told you so." He's kind of like, you know, here he is. He's like Neville Chamberlain walking around with the Munich agreement. I mean, like, seriously, I'm sure he's probably happy as hell. But once again, he just didn't fit around Embiid. Nobody solved that answer. Who fits around Embiid? Like, we keep trying to make dinner for Embiid, and yet he can't cook it.
Yeah, Neville was stunting when he got that agreement, and he got played by like Hitler. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And then Churchill comes in and is like, dude, step off.
You got to watch that documentary, Patrick.
I will. I got time. I'm going to make sure I get it. I'm excited. So you're going under 215, and there's some good numbers to back up the under coming off a game like we saw go over. So 250. We closed 214 game one, so we're closing higher here, Will.
Yeah, it's no fun to when you bet the under and they hit every three, but I do think it morphs into more of a defensive series here.
Yeah,
I agree.
The three-point shot's been unbelievable. Okay, New York City Cast, beeson.com/podcast. Enjoy the game, Will. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Will.
All right, see you guys.
And thanks for the programming help. We appreciate you. JVT next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.